my super suit? What do you mean? Where is my super suit? I need it. For what? We've been planning this day for 3 goddamn months. Oh, no. You ain't going out saving the world? Oh, hell no. I've done my hair up and everything.
Honey,
I need it.
Where is my super suit?
He plays that role so well, eh?
Yeah, that's Sam L. Jackson, right?
Yes, sir, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. I love that scene in Ted.
Which one?
The Sam L. Jackson scene. Like, he's not in it, but they're like, she's like, who's Sam L. Jackson? He's like, you don't know Sam L. Jackson? She's like, no. He's like, have you seen any movie ever? She's like, yeah. He's like, he's the black guy. It's a comedy.
It's pretty true, though. He is in a lot of movies, good and bad.
He is.
Speaking of good and bad, successful. We would like to welcome you to the podcast and program. This is episode 60. We're at, I think, 60. We're about a year and a month, 2 months in. We got a lot to talk about this week. We got a lot of things on the docket. We got playoff hockey to talk about. We have more viewers of the week this week than we've had probably in the last 2 months combined. We have some signing updates. We have Jake Ottinger. Also, I'm going to be filing a copyright against him. That's coming up. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. The chick behind the Dallas bench, you want to start with that before we get into the viewers of the week?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So the playoffs are underway. And if you hear that sizzling sound in the background, my woman is cooking breakfast right now. She's making an omelet before she goes to work. Hope she has a great day.
It smells good.
It actually does smell pretty good.
It smells roasted fantastic. Mushrooms. I can smell it from here.
Where are you at, by the way?
In Minnesota. I'm in, what's it called? I'm in Eden Prairie? Eden Prairie? Mm-hmm. Is that where? That's me. Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, so you're about 9 hours away. So yeah, smells good.
Inner Grove Heights, Eden area. Like, yeah, it's good. Oh, Moose is just waking up. Shout out to Moose. We're good for the kid. He's looking jacked. Jacked and naked. Good.
We like the latter half of that.
Yes, sir, we do.
Speaking of naked, yes. Speaking of Eden Grove, getting in the Grove, the chick at the Dallas Stars game right behind Ooh. The bench. So if you did not know, I feel like you had to have been like sleeping on a rock not to see this, because this kind of took the internet by storm last week, or I guess the week before. So there's this female, and this happens every, I'd say like once a year during playoff times, but there's this chick sitting right behind the Dallas Stars bench, right behind Rick Bonus, and we're not talking a little bit of melon. We're talking the whole cantaloupe. We're talking the whole watermelon, the shish kebab. Everything is hanging out. And it is very, very obvious that
she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, this isn't her first time. This isn't, she went to the game. Oh, are these in row one behind the Stars bench? Oh, I'm so sorry. That did not happen here.
And she knows, like, she sees the boys turning their heads looking at her. Like, they're, you know, they're giving the old, yo, do you see the girl behind us? And they give the, try not to make it obvious, but blatantly make it obvious. And they just, like, oh, yeah, I see her. Meanwhile,
you get the guys talking on the bench. They're looking at the iPad. They look behind.
Yeah.
She looks at him. She's like,
yeah, dude, she's doing it on purpose to get attention. She got exactly what she wanted too.
Well, I did a little bit of dirt digging. Okay. I did some dirt digging on this.
Okay.
She's an Instagram fit chick or an influencer, shall we say. And she's got an OnlyFans. Okay.
Yeah.
And she was posting videos before posting, hey, me and the girls are going to the game tonight. And it took me a little bit to click it, you know, a couple pucks off the head. You know, my mind isn't as strong as what it used to be. And then it clicked. Oh,
yeah.
She's talking about the girls.
Yeah.
Yes, she is. And so she was doing like the whole like selfie shot, kind of showing you the legs, showing you a little bit of everything. And then she was making these TikToks. And one of her TikToks, I think, hit like 5 million views because she had, you know, her jugs out and she went to the game.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's not. It is, but it is, but it isn't. You think those guys like if Torts was on the bench, he'd be like, this is bad for the game, you know?
Oh, 100%. He would probably, you know how like some junior teams, they don't want anybody watching the game unless they pay. They put up like banners to like cover the glass. Yeah. So you can't. Torts would probably do that.
For sure. He'd be like, boys, focus on the game here.
Put up like a Moxie sign, which actually might be kind of worse.
Yeah, like it's like that scene in like Herb Brooks in Miracle when he gets pissed because the boys are checking out the girls. But dude, people like the guy, you'd be surprised. Like there was a girl, I did tell the story after this game, but when I was playing in Orono, there was a TikTok girl on behind our bench who's got a few, couple million on TikTok. I forget her name, Ali Snipe or something like that. Her brother's a country singer. She TikToks. They do the they do those fake videos where it's like my sister reacting to my song for the first time. They're like, "Oh my god, this is you!" And it's like, "I had no idea you sang all these years." It's like, yeah, they do those videos. But she was behind the bench, and all the boys were like, "Yo, check out the girl behind the bench!" And like, you know, and you don't want to be like the guy to get caught looking by the coach or like the boys. But people definitely talk and look, so they're all very aware during that game, I'd say.
Yeah, like one of the guys looks behind, like they make eye contact with Rick Bonus, or imagine if it's Torts, they make eye contact with Coates or Coach. Second, get your eyes back on the eyes. Oh, sorry, Coach. I thought you said my name. No, okay.
Tyler, what did we talk about? I feel like he's the guy, too.
He is 100% the guy.
Tyler? We talked about this. He's like, sorry, Coach.
I can't help myself. I'm a sex addict. Chaz might be right.
Sex addiction is real, guys. Spread awareness.
It's a disease with like medication and prescriptions and stuff.
I feel like it is real for some people. I feel like they're truly addicted to sex. And what I'm saying is I'm one of those people. I've been meaning to talk to you, Travis.
Well, we can diagnose that problem with potentially some other people that share an addiction. Our podcast, The Viewers of the Week. You want to go through that?
Yeah. Let's do Viewers of the Week. Get them okay. Early and often.
So the Viewer of the Week program or segment of the podcast, if you are on the video version, you can leave a comment down in the comment section on YouTube. We'll pencil you in. If you're on the audio version, let's say you're driving in the car, you're at the gym, whatever, you can stop. Send me a message on Instagram, send Pat a message, send me an email, whatever you want, and we'll pencil in. You want a shout out? It's free. It's public. It's a free public shout out, and it costs you nothing other than listen to the podcast, I guess. We got 28 and counting, so I'm going to try to rip through these as fast as we possibly can. We got, first off, Mark Alfred. He is our first Patreon supporter. You hopped on Patreon, donated $25. Shout out to you, Marky Mark. He said he wants to be on the viewer special episode. We're going to be doing a viewer special episode next month where we bring you, the viewer, on to have a conversation with us. He's headlining. He's the first Patreon member, so shout out to you, buddy. We got Liquorball Jim, says a comment on everything. Tractor Guy, remember him? He is back.
Oh, yeah.
Back. He's not in the tractor, though. He's, I can't remember where he is. I think he's in a car, like an SUV, but I could be wrong. Brett Badden, he says, Pat looks cuter with salad. Tell him that. There you go.
Oh, yeah, because I trim my hair a bit, I think. That's what he was talking about.
Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't trim it either, but that's okay. We got Charlie Lowell says, I watch Pat rip Bucky Ched's bud. That's what he said. Want me to tell you?
Oh, thanks, man.
We got Gavin said, he discovered the podcast through my comments on the Bar Down Instagram page. Also, can you shout out the Sands Sharks in the FIHL? I think I made a typo there, but shout out to you, buddy. We got Jordan Hurley. Says, good day. I'm an ice and inline player from New Zealand. Love the podcast. Listen to it when I drive cross country to work. We got Jack Polisak from Carberry, Manitoba, about 2.5 hours from where I'm at right now here in Winnipeg. We got BJ Mahar. Said, would love to be viewer of the week. Boom. Penciled you in. We got Nap Kiel. He says, there's no way you're going to pronounce that right, but I'm going to try. Or Nap Kyle. I would like to be viewer of the week. My high school made poutine, and it looked terrible. Please mention this. Got you in. DoorDash Pete says, going to be viewer of the week. You know, while you're thinking of me, I was Ubering a 500-pound dude. Shout out to you, DoorDash Pete. We love you. We got Dylan Lawrence. Got back in the goal at 40 years old, finally, and he said he loves it. Shout out to you, buddy. Loves the game. Maybe the game doesn't love him back, but he definitely loves the game. We got Robert Weber, Morash, longtime viewer. Aiden and Big Rob from Dartmouth, the Dartmouth Whalers. We got TJ Fatco, low court. I think I mispronounced that. Zamboni driver, fourth period all-star, and loves the podcast. We got Ryan Morrison, responded to me on the Chicklets comment section, says he loves the podcast. Also, we got some other shout-outs in the Chicklets comment section. We got Evan Drake, Davis, Michael Ray, Scott Rashod, Chris Jewell. He's a Pens fan from Kamloops, Canada. Wanted me to mention that as well. We got Mr. Sousy, Landon Baldwin, Eric Lunt, just got back into the game also as well. We got Brett Kruba, Connor Dowes, Trent White, and Braden, who wanted me to say, go Sioux City Musketeers in the You Show who he is with. That is 28 viewers of the week.
Holy shit.
That was a lot.
Anyways, I have a few.
How many got?
Three. First oh, one, great. Yeah, first one's Ryan Beavan, and
he was last week's, by the way.
Was he really?
He was, yep.
Oh, okay. Well, shout out to him again, but he ended up DMing me, telling me how the podcast makes his day and whatnot. So, double shout out to him. Why does this always happen? They DM me after, and then they'll tell me the same thing they told you.
They're playing mom and dad. They're playing that game.
That's, yeah. So, anyways, another one. Drayden, did you say him? Okay. Drayden or Dryden Cassie, he said, can I be viewer of the week? He's a big fan of the podcast. And I said, yes, with a few S's. I was flirty with him. And it was, yep. And that's one. And then the other one I have is Luke Velez or Veals or Veal. Little eggplant parmesan, maybe.
Try the veal.
Yes, and he said, if I could be viewer of the week, that would be dope as fuck. He said, before, I love the podcast, and could I be viewer of the week? I said, yes, for sure. And he said, hey, let's go. He was all excited. So shout out to Luke and all the other viewers, the 37 that Trav had.
That is awesome. I don't know if you can hear, by the way. Apparently somebody pulled the fire alarm in our apartment building.
They're testing the fire alarm.
Oh, that's great. They're testing the fire alarm. Okay, that's right. Fantastic.
Good to know it works, right?
Yeah, that's good. Speaking of working or not working, you know anything about Dua Lipa, by the way, before we get into our content?
I like Dua. Yeah. I'm not like a diehard, but I like her. Yeah, I like her stuff. I like her, you know.
I like her a lot, yeah.
I like her for sure.
She's like a Britney, she's like my new Britney Spears. She's like a Latino Britney Spears, I think.
Uh-huh. That's an interesting way to put it. She's my girlfriend's woman crush. Like, she loves Dua.
She's mine, too. And that's her real name, too. Like, who names her kid Dua Lipa? And she's from the UK.
Well, it was... Her dad was getting a DUI when he was filling out her birth certificate, and he accidentally wrote DUI. DUA. He was like, DUA, Dua.
And then Is that a true story?
No, I'm just making shit up. I don't know.
Oh.
Imagine he's like, oh, shit, DUA.
Go on with the story, yep.
Yeah, that was about it. And then next thing you know, her name is Dua. He didn't think she was gonna be a pop sensation that she is.
Yeah, nobody will know about my DUI at all.
DUA. Dua Lipa. Now, yeah, she's great. I like some of her tunes. Were you just shouting her out, or was there like a story about her?
Public. No, dude. I love Dua Lipa. She's like one of my favorite. She was posting a TikTok video the other day, like doing yoga. I like yoga now. It's great.
Oh, you only like it because of her.
Yeah,
that's special. I get that. I get that. Speaking of pop like sensations, like someone that I've been very into is Liver King. Have you checked his stuff out?
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
Like he is a bigger version of my training partner at jiu-jitsu, Hans. I found out Hans is a police officer, and he's ripped. I saw him naked in the shower the other day after a class. I'm like, this guy's got huge knockers. Like he's got like knockers like the size of like yours.
Oh wow!
Like he's got huge, like, and he's ripped, like chiseled, like Liver King. And I'm rolling with this guy on the mat at jiu-jitsu every day. Anyway, sorry, that doesn't have anything to do with it, but yeah, Liver King.
Yeah, well, dude, Liver King has this, so his answer to when someone accuses him of steroids is that he's living the ancestral life, like our ancestral beings that were at our highest form. He's a psychopath, and that when you're, his belief is that when you're low on testosterone or like, anything, say you have like a heart failure, you eat a heart, or like say your liver is failing, you eat a liver, or like your organs, you know, that's how you would cure that, by eating.
If we could back that up just for a split second, because maybe some people don't know who he is. So the Liver King is, I don't know if he's like a bodybuilder, he looks like a bodybuilder, but he basically lives a carnivore diet where he only eats meat.
What's raw meat?
Except everything's raw. He doesn't
cook
anything.
Like, it's not just meat, like he eats livers, like balls, he eats testicles and shit. He was on Logan Paul's podcast recently and explained, it's very weird.
I watched that too, yeah.
But do you think he's on steroids?
I don't know. I like to think all those guys are on steroids because, like, I can't fathom how you get that big. But I don't know. I'm not in that industry, so I don't know.
It feels like he is. Derek More Plates More Dates concluded that he's likely on steroids, which I could get behind that. And I just don't think that eating intestines raw or testicles will make you that. Like, he eats testicles to get his testosterone up or some shit, and I just don't see that making you look that ripped and big. But who knows? Maybe he's like 4'6", so he's just like... Yeah.
Is he? Is he actually that short?
No. Oh. But he is a smaller guy. He's not that tall, I don't think.
So they're more in your neck of the woods, pun intended.
I'm pretty tall. I'm tall.
Can we get a height measurement on Liver King? Do we know how tall he is?
Let me see if Google knows.
I love meat, but I could never. If you put like are we talking like a cow's penis or like a cow's testicle or like what kind of penis and testicle?
Yeah, I think like a cow's.
Oh, the prairie oysters is what they're called. Yeah, bison's penis.
Bison. He eats the balls. Yeah, and Logan tried it. It was weird, man. They were like eating sacks and shit.
I don't. I mean, if I was never starving, if I was starving, and I was like out in the middle of nowhere. Like I'd have to. I mean, I'm sure I would. But if you put it like on a plate right in front of me, I would probably just, I'll probably just walk away. I wouldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
It's an acquired taste.
I would not look forward to eating it. Apparently, you can order it. There's a place in Minnesota, and my friends were like looking to order testicles. They're like, "Dude, you down to eat some?" I'm like,
Yeah. You imagine the guy like placing the order, like fulfilling the order, like, "Yeah, we got to skip order for testicles." Oh, drop the testicles so in the fryer.
You got to just season them nice, you know, put the right seasonings on. Apparently, they taste great.
Some little Mexican taco testicles. Seasoning.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Spaghetti and testicles.
You imagine it's you get like a big bowl of spaghetti and there's just two big nuts right in the middle.
You're like, "Oh, my favorite. Thanks." That's sweet.
That is so gross. So that is nasty.
No, it really is. Anyways, onto bigger and
you want to talk about our hockey, some actual reason why people come. We'll get into the UFC stuff in a second.
Well, yeah, then let's talk our hockey and then we can chat playoff hockey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Buzzing right now. But yeah, for me there's not much going on still, so you can fill in yours first.
Yeah. I was going to ask you though. I don't know if we talked about it or not. You mentioned the possibility of you going to Europe. Can you picture yourself playing in Europe? Like playing professionally in Europe anytime soon, or do you just see yourself staying in your kind of like little pocket in the East Coast US?
Yeah, probably not in the new year, like this, not definitely not this year. I have to build.
Is there a reason why?
Well, yeah, one, I definitely want to push it here to see what I can do. Well, because I only have a couple more years of like that. Two,
if I could for a sec, what you're meaning is you feel your window of opportunity closes in North America if you go to Europe and it's harder to come back. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. Also, two, I want to build up my resume more to make more money over there if I was to go. So, like, the better I do here, like, I think I can do a lot better, like, production-wise and have a good year in the coast. And, like, if I put up numbers, then it helps the case of, like, going overseas. It's like, oh, he put up this amount of numbers. Like, that helps your, like, you make more money overseas.
I've noticed that, like, what you do in North America, whether it's junior, college, pro, that is, like, the benchmark and that's the resume that gets you in the door over here. Like, it's harder to do it over here, over in Europe, and then bring it back home. You know, like it's kind of like a university education. It doesn't transfer from college to college.
Yeah, no, exactly.
In that sense,
exactly.
And it's a cool life experience, though.
No, and I'm sure it is. I'll see. I don't know if I want to like commit yet to like do it for. It'd be weird to how many months? It'd be like 7, 8. Months, 8 months.
It depends on how good or how shitty your team is. So, it starts earlier. So, like for me, I report end of August. For you, because you'd be at a higher level, I would assume you'd report middle of August, maybe even beginning of August, depending on. Like, I don't think you'd be playing in like an SHL or like a top Liga. I don't think.
I'd be the second wave of leagues at this point.
Probably. Yeah. So yeah, those guys report or end of July. So you'd probably report like middle of August, I believe. I could be wrong on that. Maybe again, I don't play there in Elsvenskan, but compared to like right now, where you report what, beginning of October for the Cheeser?
Yeah, it's like October 1st is like the camp or something like that, which is nice.
Yeah, well, and the whole relegation thing, like if your team's like average, it'll be a short season. You're done by like Valentine's Day. If you're like really, really, really bad, you go into the relegation and then you got to play a lot of games to like get relegated down. So if you're like a terrible dog shit team, it's almost as long a season as if you're like playing for advancement, you're really good. Like you could go into like April and it's like an eight plus month season. So, because most of the guys in Europe were done a month ago, but, the North America thing I find is kind of interesting too, because like whether you're in the coast like you or let's say the SP or the Fed, it's all kind of like an October timeline and it finishes up in middle of April in that ballpark.
Yeah, the regular season does, and then like my season ended a week into May, it was.
But that's also because of the flu playoffs. The flu extended season, right? Otherwise, it would have been a little bit
the what
shorter the COV the flu. Right? That no. extended kind of things out?
No. This year was normal time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just like it's weird. It's like it starts a couple weeks later than the NHL and ends a few weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm. So it's a little shorter.
Yeah, just a bit shorter. It's like 60 something games or something like that. 70 games, I think. But yeah. For you, is there an update of your You got updates.
We got a little bit of an update.
John Stockton.
So the offer, the two offers, like the one in Norway and one in Sweden, that's still on the back burner because they, like I mentioned, those weren't really offers that like we were happy with, that I was happy with to say I'm going to go over there, I'm going to get better, and it's a great opportunity to play and do something good. It's kind of interesting right now. So there are so many Division II teams that got relegated down to Division III this year because they're trying to clean out. Like some of the divisions in Sweden, like there's like 300 teams. Like there's so many teams. They're trying to clean them out. So there's so many teams that came down this year that now the Division III teams, I'm being told, all want Division II players because they think they're going to fill a whole Division III roster of Division II players because there's so many players that came down. But the problem with that is Division II players coming down don't want to play Division III. They want to stay there, right? So there's kind of like it's almost like a stalemate right now. Like nobody wants to sign Division III guys. The Division II guys don't want to sign with Division III teams. So that's kind of at a gridlock right now. And there's probably not going to be anything, I'm being told, for at least another month that's going to be like before they start like bending and start signing Division III guys. What I was told as well, and again, I got to be kind of a little tight-lipped on some of the details, but there is a very high-risk, high-reward opportunity for me in the Fed this season. I'm not going to name a team or a location. I'll just say in the deep south. And I like the deep south. We've established this before, right?
Yes.
Fried chicken, collard greens, grits, that kind of deep south.
Yeah. Right. Of course. Of course. Not the back end.
No.
Yeah. My apologies.
Sorry. No. Those are chitlins. Chitlins.
Yeah. Of course.
No, those are gross. But yeah. Yeah, there's a good opportunity, and I think that from what I've been told and what I've observed as well, there's never been more like call-ups, like going up and going down in North American hockey than there ever has this past season. Granted, the flu is probably, hopefully, fingers crossed, going to fade a little bit away next year, but there's still going to be some opportunities with that, with the shuffle of things, and it would be a good opportunity. It's going to extend my off season a little bit by probably the next month and a half.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. As far as the CO, the co, they're not like pretty much every team now, because the NHL passed it, is just testing with symptoms. So like if you have symptoms, you choose to get tested, you know, unless you're going to Canada. So there's going to be a lot less 10-day absences of players, I believe, is what I think. As far as the Fed for you, I think, I mean, that'd be cool, you know, you get, you're in the States and in playing the Fed in America, it would definitely be an experience for YouTube followers and yourself, but it would definitely be some good content. I'd be curious to see because I've heard stories that that league is, there's some dark times, like with,
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit worried about that. I mean, I was told already just like yesterday over the phone that like the vlog is gonna have to be a back burner, even the podcast is gonna have to be a little bit hush hush, because obviously the Swedes are a little bit more laid back. The like these guys might be looking for any opportunity to say, you know, see you later, right? Because in Sweden there's more stability, like we talked about, but right. In the Fed and in North America, it's like, well, they can get rid of me tomorrow for no reason, just say see you later, Trav. And I had that experience 3 years ago when I went to Columbus. And I mean, it wasn't a great experience. So like when I'm thinking of the Fed, I'm thinking of that experience. And when I'm training and when I'm doing stuff, I'm thinking, okay, well, they promised me the world and got rid of me like that last time. Mm. I'm anticipating that to happen again. So how do I fix it? Well, I need to have a great summer. I need to really focus on my on ice game and make myself very dominant and come in focused and no f-ing around with, excuse my language, but no messing around with cameras and the vlog and the pod, like this business and stop pucks, and it should be fine. Again, high risk, high reward compared to in Europe.
Yeah. Do you find that would be worth it for you when like your YouTube has been your bread and butter and it's been your source of income for a few years now, your main source of income, I should say. But do you find that worth it if they're like, you have to put this on the back burner where you can't really post this and have the same behind the scenes as you usually do? Do you think that's worth it because you'd be playing at maybe a higher level of hockey? I'm not really sure what the comparison would be to.
Yeah, probably about the same. I think the Fed in Division III, like where I was at, I think very similar comparables.
Yeah.
Different styles of hockey, but I think the trade-off is worth it because I'm at a point in my life where like I just want to be, like we mentioned before last week, money doesn't matter to me. All the other bullshit doesn't matter. I just want to be happy. And what makes me really happy is having a team, having a sense of purpose, and succeeding. Like, stopping pucks. It's like, and I don't know if you can relate. I don't know if you ever played a musical instrument. It's like playing the guitar. Right? You hit that one chord, and it sounds amazing. And you want to just, you hit it again and again and again. And, like, you keep going, and it feels good. It feels right. And that's the same thing with goaltending. Like, yeah, it's the same thing. You're doing a shuffle, you're doing a T-push, you're making a butterfly slide, you're making a save. But it's that feeling. There's just something that I love so much about it. And doing it at a high level and being successful with a team family environment is just something that like I crave. And having the year where I didn't play hockey like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when, you know, shit went south with my college situation, just made me appreciate that so much more. So if I got to put the vlog on the back burner, so be it. I have a couple ideas how to work around that. I think the podcast will be fine because we just, like right now, we set up a camera, we set up the microphones, and we just go. And there's no hands-on. It's just find a day off, talk about stuff.
Yeah, I think the podcast would be easier to keep up with because it's more so private. You know, you're just in your apartment or wherever you are recording your podcast. And it's tough, like, for me too. When I was, like, this year, I did a lot of like reaction videos, like reacting to my games more, because it's easier to do where you're not carrying a camera around in the locker room, which can be, you don't know how it would be taken in like at a pro level or somewhere. Like, you're not, I'm a rookie on the team, you know, you're not super comfortable. And you don't want to be that rookie who's just like walk around like cameras in people's faces, like, and especially because it's an older crowd and college people are in their early 20s, even 19. And it's like, it's a different kind of energy versus pro. You don't know. They're not really so on board or with the social media aspect of things. And it's like, that's why, like, you can get around it. You can still vlog, but you just, there could be less of like in locker room stuff, like where I feel, or you can't record your games from the net type thing, you know, it'd just be a different perspective of it, but still can be very productive and effective. Like
if I could, I think it's the old, and I think it's slowly working its way out of hockey, but that old dinosaur mentality of like, things have been a certain way for 100 years. We're going to keep it that way. So for example, like your vlog and my vlog, correct me if I'm wrong, you have more of a following than the Maine Mariners ECHL hockey team. Is this true or is this false?
That is true, yes.
Right, so the team has less following and people that care about the team. This is my words, not Pat's. Less people that care about the team than care about Pat. You see what I'm saying? Like, you could be using that as an asset to bring people into the rink, fill the arena, and make money. But this old school mentality of let's keep the cameras away, let's just focus on hockey, kind of suffocates that out, shall we say. I do think, though, by taking the vlogging aspect, like the hands-on, like putting cameras in people's faces and the cameras in the locker room, by taking that away, I think it makes it a little bit easier on the guys. And I found this year towards the end when I started doing like the more storytelling approach where I tell the story in the edit, not in the moment, it made things a lot easier. It came together faster. It was more polished. And it made everybody happier because I wasn't interviewing guys and putting cameras in people's faces, which is the key. If guys can feel comfortable and the coach can feel comfortable. And I think that is the secret sauce to making it work. Now, can you or I make two videos a week, maybe even a video every single week? Absolutely not. It's going to happen when it happens. But that's what we have the podcast for. We do the podcast every single week and we can share the stories as they come. There's some things that will have to be a little bit tight-lipped until maybe we're done or we move on. But it's still a great resource.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It just could be a little different, a little shift. It definitely could be good stuff.
Speaking of a shift, there is a shift going on this Father's Day. We want to tell you all about it. The folks at manscaped.com. Listen, old daddy-o for Father's Day probably has a big sack. And he's got a big sack. He's got some hair on there. He's got to get rid of it, which is why we got old the lawnmower. Sacks. And you'll see behind me, we got the weed whacker. He's got some nose and some ear hairs. You just shove it in there, you get it done. Right behind me, right here, this is the first for the new Manscaped Platinum Package. We got the shampoo and conditioner. We also have the body wash. I actually used the last of it yesterday, so I'm all out. So shout out to Manscaped. We're going to need some more shampoo or body wash in this apartment. And then we got, let me grab in here. We got the Ultra Smooth Package, which is the crop exfoliator, the crop gel, and the crop shaver. It's going to give you a razor smooth shave for down on the boys, down in the area, in the nether regions. Because some of us have weird shapes. Maybe you got like a cut or a scab or a wart, and you don't want to, like, you can't, like, I'll be honest, going like with this against a wart isn't ideal. So you just use the shaver and you're good to go. And old daddy-o is going to be looking good for Father's Day. And it's the gift that keeps on giving, because then mom's going to be happy because mom has a smooth tree and a smooth yard to work with. Everybody's happier, better feng shui in the building.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man. Those old man sacks need treatment as well. You know, they're hanging low, very low. You know,
I'm getting very weird look right now from my woman.
She doesn't like the old man.
She just gave me a look like
she's never heard you do that ad before.
Maybe no, she just has
the old man sacks.
I think she's picturing like a dad with like his sack in a wheelbarrow, like full of like hair and having like shave it with the warts in her. Yeah, it's a bad image. But you did
start talking about warts, and that got weird because it's like, are you talking about genital warts? You know,
and everybody's like, dealing with something different. What's going on here?
Yeah. But for sure. Get your dad one, even if it's not for his old man sack, even if it's for his old man chest. You know, maybe he's been doing push-ups like my dad, and he wants to show that off. Give him a little Manscaped buzzer and get that hair off and let him show off those old man pecs that he's been working on the beach. Hit the beach, do some stretches, do some sprints with your old man with Manscaped on this year's Father's Day, which is coming up not long. It's only a few weeks out, so don't wait. Don't wait. Use the code BIZKIT. Get 20% off all products. Treat your dad well. Get him the soaps, the shampoos, the deodorant, the chapstick. It's, you know, if you're going to be in the sun, get that chapstick.
It's all part of that new Manscaped Platinum Package. There's a link in the video description on the YouTube version. There's also a link down in the podcasting notes on Apple, Spotify, Google, Diesel, Stitcher, all those podcast platforms. The code is BIZKIT, BIZKIT, 20% off, free shipping. We got you like we do every single week. Speaking of getting you want to talk a little bit about the Tony Ferguson thing?
The Fergs.
Yes, a little UFC.
He got head kicked like brutally, and I thought he was dead.
I saw that too. I was like, oh my god, he's dead. This is the first death UFC's gonna have.
He was like, he went down like hard, and then Rogan was like, he is still out. I'm like, Jesus Christ, is he alive? It was kind of scary. Yeah, he got fed, like football kicked right to the chin,
and it was like so like it didn't look like that bad of a kick. It looked like a normal kicked at the UFC guys with the liver, and he just like a sack of bricks was just. And you could even see with Chandler. So we're talking about the UFC this past weekend or the weekend before. Michael Chandler, Tony Ferguson, and Chandler just kicks him in the face, and he knew right away when he hit him. He hadn't even contacted the what do you call it?
Yeah, he didn't ground and pound. He stopped.
Yeah, he was just he's done. We're out of here.
Good on him.
Yeah, yeah. Respect. No Masvidal special. Yeah, he's knocked out Ben Askren, and he's still.
Feeds him two more punches.
He's like, "You want some? You want some?"
Yeah, that was vicious. It was right to the chin. If you get head kicked right to the chin, like that's pretty safe to say it's gonna be a knockout. Like a lot of times they'll move or block it before it hits, like a bit, so it won't have that. But that was like a football kick. Like he punted his head. It was not like karate style and like technical. It was just a full on like punt.
Like a 40-yard field goal to the face.
And he just right off his face. Like his head was the football. And it crushed him. And there was whoever got that photo caught the photo of his foot crushing his face. And it like crunched it up. And McGregor had a field day. Because Tony has always called him McNuggets, trying to get like chirpy, and he was like laughing how Ferguson literally looked like a McNugget, and he had comparison pictures and like fading the McNugget over his face.
I'm just picturing Connor at home in his mansion telling his PR guy, "Hey, can we get a chicken McNugget on Ferguson's face? I want to post that if you don't mind. Yeah, get it over to me as fast as you can. I want to tweet that.
Pictures of McNuggets." He looks like a McNugget. You ever see, because he deletes his tweets, I believe it's a marketing strategy that he does because it gets people talking about it more. And but he tweeted out once, he's like, me butler deletes my tweets. So there was he had a video of his butler like chasing him. He's like, he's trying to delete my tweets. And he's like running around with his phone. It's funny shit.
I'm looking forward to watching him come back. It's going to be a good fight whenever he does come back, hopefully. Sometime in the fall, maybe?
Yeah, seemingly.
Speaking of which, I got a little update on my jiu-jitsu classes. So I'm 6 classes in, going to class 7 in about an hour and a half. We did rear naked chokes the other day.
Ooh.
It got serious.
Yeah?
Like there's something about somebody putting you in a headlock, having a guy on top of you, mounting your back. But like when... Like the first time on Tuesday when I got put in a rear naked choke and the guy applied pressure and I felt it, I was like, oh my, like, oh shit. Like this is, like this isn't, you know, pretending. Like this is the real, like I'm getting choked out. I need to do something about this.
Did you tap?
Oh yeah. Master Brennan who was demoing it. And so he's demoing it on me and he says, tap whenever you're ready. And he started putting pressure on. I tapped right away and he says, watch this. If they're defending against your neck and they put their hand in there, you could try to crush their jaw. And he's like, I'm going to do this very gently. Please tell me when you feel something because this will break your jaw fast. And I'm like, oh, shit. So he goes against my jaw and it took like a second. And I was like, okay, I'm good. I feel that. It's deadly.
Dude, it's like if someone gets locked, once they get locked in, that's it. Like it's like 5 seconds you have to tap.
It doesn't take long, no.
Yeah.
And I found, too, like, just trying to, like we talked about, like, before I even started doing the classes, trying to keep that clear state of mind, kind of like in hockey. Yeah. Shit hits the fan. What is more stressful than being choked out in a rear naked choke? And especially, like, when the guy locks you out. So, like we were talking a lot about, like, you put the guy in the rear naked choke like you would, and then you're using your legs to kind of, like spread out his body. So it's obviously, like, if you're in a full splits compared to, like, your legs being closer together, it's harder to move. So if you spread out the guy's body and you're choking him, like good luck getting out of it. It's very interesting, especially when even some of the guys like in our studio, I don't know if you call it a studio or our gym or whatever you want, our training facility, but we got guys who are like 5'6", you know, 5'5", like real short guys, and they got some power. Like I mentioned, my training partner Hans, he is a big guy, and I feel really good when I throw him around. I feel really confident in myself.
Good.
Fuck he's a big man. He's a big man. I was told the other day, honey, I don't know if I told you this or not. I was told by Hans that, so he mounts my back He's mounted me. He's got his legs wrapped around my waist, and he's seatbelting me to kind of pull me back, to roll me over, to put me in a choke. And he was telling me I'm very. Oh, my lawnmower fell over. Okay.
Oh no.
Well, it's okay. Well, Father's Day sale. Time to pick one up. Right? He was telling me very hard to roll over. Very, very good center of gravity, which is good. I've never heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Good for a 6'5" guy. That's great.
I just get low, and you know like the handle you have in the car, the holy shit handle.
Yeah.
I basically grip the mat like that. I'm like, holy shit, don't let him roll me over.
Yeah, it's terrifying, I'm sure.
It is. Anyway, do you want to cap off a little bit of playoff hockey talk? We got some stuff to go over.
The playoffs have been exciting, actually.
Actually, one thing I wanted to go over first. So Jake Oettinger, obviously, he had that amazing Game 7 performance, 63 of 67 or 64 of 67, I think it was. Unreal. He stole my intro the other day. I don't know if you saw that. I posted about that.
What did he do?
So he had, I think, two or three 50-save-plus games in the series against Calgary. Somebody was interviewing him, asking him about what are you trying to accomplish out there. And he said, and let me pull this up for you real quick, because when I saw this, I just about lost it. He says, quote, "At the end of the day, I'm just doing what feels right for me and chasing after my dream." Sound familiar?
That's your intro.
Yep. Mine is, "At the end of the day, I'm just doing what feels right for me and chasing down my dream."
Huh. I mean, so, I guess it could be a common thing to want, but it feels like he quoted it.
Like, I read that quote. Is it weird if I read that quote and I read it in my own voice with the intro, with the music playing, that dun,
no. Da, 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 da. If I heard that quote, I would also hear it in with your music playing in your voice.
So I tagged him on Instagram. I said, "This looks familiar," at Jake Oettinger. And I've sent him DMs in the past, and he's responded to them. He's been pretty good about responding to my DMs. I got iced. I got no reply.
Did it say seen?
It said seen. Seen by Jake Oettinger, no reply. So then I posted it again the next day. Seen, no reply. And then I said, you know what? Third time's the charm. I sent him a message, say, "Hey, would you like to come on the podcast? Let's talk about life outside of hockey. I don't know if you like to fish, whatever you do, no hockey, let's just talk about life." Seen, no reply. Jake Oettinger does not want to come on the podcast. Jake, if you're listening, we would love to have you on the podcast. Maybe come on sometime. Let's talk life. Let's talk coffee. How do you take your coffee? Blonde roast, dark roast? We'd like to know. Come on the podcast sometime. Sling the biscuit.
It seems like he might have quoted you, and now he's annoyed by you.
Yes.
He got caught. He might have got caught quoting you.
I will be honest. I got to confess or tell you the full story. No BS. I did send him a DM, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. I saw he never followed me, but he's been creeping my stuff. He's always creeped my stuff. There's a lot of guys that you would be surprised that always creep my stuff when I see it. And so I sent him a message. I was like, "Bro, you're just going to keep creeping and no follow?" And I never got a message back after that.
Oh no.
I called him out. Yeah, there's a couple of guys you'd be surprised to creep my stuff that maybe I should call out. Or maybe I shouldn't call out, but.
That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, you want to talk a little bit of playoff hockey? You want to
Hot takes? I thought, the game last night was very exciting. Calgary versus Edmonton, game one.
Yeah, little, it was six. Wild game. Was it 6-2 or was it 6-1 at one point?
I think it was 6-1.
Okay, so
6-2.
So maybe. So let's say it was 6-2. Me and my girlfriend, we were watching hockey, and we said we're going to go grocery shopping. And we went grocery shopping, we came back, and it was basically a tied game. And I don't know, maybe we were gone for like 30 minutes ish, give or take. And I came back, I was like, "What just happened?" It was kind of like the Sharks Vegas game when they came back from 4-0 a couple years ago.
Yeah,
same thing happened. I was watching the game, said, "Oh, this is boring. It's 4-0." I went to go make some blueberry muffins. I came back, the game was tied. Couldn't believe it.
I did the same thing where I was like, "Oh, they're getting crushed," and I went downstairs, started like setting up something. And all of a sudden, Neil texts me. He's like, "Dude, are you watching this game?" I'm like, "Oh, what? What the fuck? They tied it? That's crazy shit." But end of the day, Calgary ended up winning. I think Kachuk is so easy to, like, if you're a like Edmonton fan watching or any team fan watching against, he's so easy to hate. Like when, because he's such a prick out there.
Oh,
it's
so
pretty.
Annoying.
It's very entertaining though. If you're playing against him or rooting against him, like that, like you probably hate him.
You know what I think makes it worse? Like, he can be an asshole and say whatever he wants. Like Brad Marchand, maybe taking like some political stances against you. To, oh, you're a Trump guy. I love Biden. Oh, you love Biden. Trump 2024 stuff. Like, or even asking Evander Kane if he needs a loan or if he needs some money last night.
That's
the
funny.
The part that would drive me the craziest is that he does it while he's chewing on that stupid mouth
guard. Oh yeah.
He's just like chawing on it. It's like, oh, I just want to punch you in the face.
He did, dude. He did too.
That mouth guard is so annoying, is it not?
It is. That was a good chirp on a cane, though. You need some money.
we were talking about before we started recording the game 6 in LA when Kane renounced the empty netter to go ahead.
Yeah.
And he puts up the seven sign. I had the comment on the Chicklets comment section that Pat loved. Said he wasn't actually flashing seven for we're going to game seven or that we just scored seven. It was that after the signing bonus, I'm 7 mil away from paying back all my debt.
It's funny shit.
7 mil left, boys, and then I'm debt free.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably accurate, but that was probably one of your best comments on the Chicklets. Did it get much hate or? I mean, it probably.
Oh, I think it got like 1,200 likes. It got almost as many likes as my comment on the Marner carjacking the other day.
I didn't see that comment, but that also scary shit.
It is scary stuff, but I feel like when a guy's getting paid $10 million and the team sucks, or sorry, they don't suck, they can't win, you expose yourself to having comments like this, and I took every opportunity at that. So I saw that. Obviously, scary stuff. Carjacking dudes with knives and guns, scary shit. Even if you know jiu-jitsu and you can throw them in a rear naked choke, you don't want three guys with knives coming at you. However, no. I left a comment and said, after the Leafs lost game 7 on Saturday, this guy saw Marner at the movie theater parking lot after he bet everything on the Leafs this season and said, I'm done.
Dude, honestly, like, my first thought when it happened was, like, I wonder if it was a crazy fan who was just, like, pissed off about the season.
That's what I thought, because I thought it was just one dude who, like, stole his car. I didn't know it was actually, like, a robbery.
Yeah, but they stole the car and shit, but there is, like, some, like, Toronto is a crazy hockey city. Like, those fans are either your biggest fan or their biggest fucking critic and haters. Like,
can I have a hot take? Toronto is such a dump. I would never live in a dump like Toronto.
I've never been.
Hamilton, Edmonton.
Oh, right. Yeah, you were saying that dump. I've never been there, but I did know, like, what do you call it? Brian McCabe.
Gary.
He worked for Florida and showed us. He actually was emotional about it. I might have told this on the pod before.
I don't recall this story. Please do tell.
Yeah, he was emotional because of his time in Toronto. He was showing us how, like, hard he was doing, like, media training. He was showing how hard it can be because, like, he was in a slump in Toronto and there was fans, like, making videos of, like, the downfall of Brian McCabe and how showing all the highlights of his bad plays and his and shit, and if he went on public he would get yelled at, ridiculed and shit like that. And he started showing that a highlight reel that someone made on YouTube and he started getting emotional talking about it, that's how the fans in Toronto are. Like, it's good when it's good, but if you're not doing good for them, they'll, like, attack you. And but it also shows how fans have this, like, they don't care and remember that the hockey player is a human being and this is their life and what they dedicate their life to. And of course, they want to do good. Maybe as, like, fans might, take that into consideration that it actually can affect the player.
You know? And would you agree or disagree? It's the hockey fans that have never played hockey and don't actually understand how the game works that are losing their stuff. Like guys like you and me that, and again, I'm not saying I play at the highest levels, but I do understand the game and I'm not going after a guy at the 7-Eleven in the parking lot trying to steal his car and tell him that he sucks. I'm showing some respect online.
Yeah.
In general.
Whether or not that was what happened, it could have just been random dudes who saw a rich kid with a rich little guy with a Range Rover and they're like, oh, let's get him. It could have been something like that. But maybe it was.
Doesn't he drive a Lambo? Doesn't he drive like a really nice sports car?
I'm not sure. When I read articles, I thought I saw a Range Rover.
I mean, if you drive a nice car, people are going to want it, yeah.
Yeah, and especially it's like you're in a, maybe he's in a bad area. He's just a little guy. Like, he's not a big dude, you know?
No.
He doesn't look like an intimidating guy. They probably saw it and were like, fucking. But that's terrifying, dude. Like, you can only imagine being in that situation, like what you would do. There's nothing you can do if someone has a gun and knife to you, you know? It's like,
apparently they didn't show the gun and the knife. They had them on them. But I mean, at that point, like if I don't know about you, if three guys approached me like that and they said, give me the keys.
Cause it's like, what are you going to do? What's Mitch Marner going to fight off three guys who might have guns and knives on them? You know?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It's like, okay, maybe he beats up one guy and then there's two other guys hitting him, or maybe even the other guys pull out a knife. Like there's no, you just can't know there. And that's, no. Yeah. That's a shitty situation to be in.
I mean, if you got a weapon on you, you maybe know maybe a little bit of jiu-jitsu or something. Maybe you can work that into your advantage. But three dudes, give me the car, take it. It's a car. I can replace the car and make an insurance claim. Even my bike, like my bike isn't, I mean, as expensive as a car, but you want my bike? Yeah, take it. Just, you know, don't take anything of value to me, like that emotionally is of value to me. But speaking of things that you can take a new podcast from us. You can listen to us every week, every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. On the video version, as you can see right here, if you're in the car, Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, all those podcasting programs, we do at 11 a.m. Eastern. We do 8 a.m. in Vancouver and midnight in China. We would love to have you out for the next episode next week. Manscaped, pick up a lawnmower. Get Dad something nice for Father's Day. Pat Shea, take us away. Final notes.
See you guys at midnight in China. Shout out to Trav's fire alarm. This is awesome.